Now God is love, pure love, beautiful love, spiritual love, faithful love, an overflowing fountain of love. Oh, who can begin to refuse to be loved? But Satan is exactly the opposite of divine love. For Satan is lustful love, phony love, counterfeit love, perverted love, unfaithful love, physical love, an overflowing fountain of hate. Yes, the contrast between God's spiritual love and Satan's physical love, physical lust disguised as love, cannot be greater. They are as far separated as east is from west, as light is from darkness. However, Satan is constantly trying to cover over that great separation, trying to imitate God's spiritual love by using his counterfeit, the physical love lust. Now from scripture, we know that God is always hyper exceedingly jealous of anything that competes with his love in even the smallest way. Yes, God cares deeply, and not only about who we love him, but also how we love him in spirit and in truth. Yes, to love God in spirit and truth is the beatitude way of faith in the litmus test of the essential to what is essential to salvation. For scripture clearly tells us that critical and distinctive litmus test, that whatsoever is not done in faith in God is sin. And in that context, we must say with tears that the Christian church for 6,000 years since our deep fallen Adam has been strongly opposed and has clearly condemned the many forms of the Valentine Day type of celebrations of love lust, which have been invented by humans in every generation with all of its surrounding activities of unlove. Yes, since the deep fall, we see it already in Cain and his wicked sister who produced the city of lust, the giants of lust that married and corrupted the children of God. Yes, Satan's spirit became so horrific in the lives of man that soon we read that it repented God, that he had even ever made man. Oh, imagine that. It repented God that he had made man. We had become so sinful in love lust, physical love. Yes, God's love is spiritual love, was being destroyed by Satan's physical lust. Yes, we see God destroyed the whole first world because of all the people were living, we read, violently against his love in their lustful partying and their wild gusto of erotic lust. They were living outside of holy marriage and sacred love. That's what the meaning of the text they were giving in marriage. They were not living in holy sacrament as husband and wife. No, the spirit of Valentine lust is not new. There is such a hyper exceedingly focus that Satan initiates on human physical sexuality that overshadows all of society and Christian society. Oh, only look around at today, where that same hyper exceedingly focus on human sexuality so dominates in the church and is so illustrated in Valentine lusts. Yes, it dominates our society and our church today. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Only we need to look around and see how hypersexuality with a physical emphasis is dominant in Christendom even today. Yes, in Ezekiel 22, verse 11, God condemns that Valentine lust spirit, where he says in grief, every man nayeth after his neighbor's wife. Yes, all the idol religions that God condemns in Scripture were saturated with this physical lust, masquerading as love, masquerading as God. But God alone is love. Satan is not. But none were worse than the idol god Baal. Baal, which promoted lewd lust, that lust, love lust that abounded within Baal worship. Yes, even in the very service itself was dedicated to that Valentine spirit of physical love. Yes, this is not even the worst sin in the hierarchy of sins. For yes, there are many levels of sins. But that should be no comfort to you or me. For God hates all sin. All sin, do you hear it? And even the smallest unforgiven sin is so horrific in God's sight that it costs man an eternity in hell. Oh, yes, sin is critical, is important to avoid the world and all the things of Valentine's spirits. Oh, to be a true Christian, to travel the Beatitude Way, we know that is to be serious, to be a serious Christian. We must hate what God hates. They must love what God loves. Now, above all, we should know in applying that concept, nothing offends God more than willful sin of his children, especially Christians, because sin has ruined his first covenant. Sin has cost God so dearly in having to send his only begotten Son to the cross to suffer and to die so horribly for sinners. For when Christians willfully engage in open sin against Scripture, that is so evident on Valentine spirit, the Valentine lust of this week, that in every sin that we do, God demands an account. He demands the holiness that he gave us in the Garden of Eden. Yes, every page of the Bible illustrates God's hatred, hatred of both the spiritual and the physical Valentine lust that we see abounding today. That lust, physical lust, that is outside of the holiness of sacred marriage, between one man and one woman. Period. Sin. God hates sin. If we apply no lesson but to apply this to sin, we have only gained what God has given us to do. Yes, this is the reason God gave the seventh commandment and built high fences around holy matrimony, that we may firmly reject. But here we must firmly reject all those who say that all human sexuality is sinful. That is another error. That is nonsense. God created human sexuality perfectly for both the propagation of the generations in the birth of children, but also as a special bonding mechanism and an imprinting method of growing marital love within marriage. Yes, do never, never believe those who say all sexuality is evil. That is a lie. Remember, Adam and Eve lived in marital love in paradise for some time. And remember, God looked upon all creation on the seventh day, and he saw what? He saw that it was very good, very good. And that included marital relations within a sacred marriage of a man and a woman. God saw that it was very good. It was his plan. No, we must not strive to avoid just all sin, but we must strive to even avoid the appearance of sin, the appearance of the conformity to the world. And if we are setting aside days to celebrate this Valentine love lust, we are the most sinful of all creatures, Christians who should know better. Now, if you are always busy calculating and splitting hairs on issues, considering whether this might be close to sin, or that might be a sin, or this might not, oh, then know already, you have already sinned. For God's children, they flee from sin and try to be as far away from sin as possible. No, such an attitude of how close you can become to sin without sinning is in your imagination, and it indicates the leaning of your heart. God desires holiness and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Oh, there is no room in Christianity, there is no room in the world for the Valentine spirit that is so contrary to God's spirit. And the spending of $24 billion on this unlove, masquerading as love. Yes, for the way the tree leans, the way you lean, that's the way you shall fall when the tree is cut down. Therefore, all of God's servants as ambassadors must faithfully condemn what God condemns. And we will see that in this morning, that God has condemned the many thousands of variations of phony love from that Valentine spirit. Yes, God has condemned such phony love on every page of Scripture. Oh, just read again Ezekiel 21 of our scripture today. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter. Oh, hear Matthew 15, verse 8. The condemnation that the Lord condemns so much of his sinning church so often. Matthew 15, verse 8 says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. In our sermon this morning, we will deal with the topic of love, spiritual love, true love, God's love. And we're going to focus on the six terms that God uses in Scripture for his true love, and contrast that godly love with Satan's devilish and whorish Valentine lust. Yes, over and over and over, yes, 32 times in history, God has destroyed his own Christian church because the people have openly, willfully fallen into any one of the thousands of Satan's innumerable unloves, trying to imitate God's love. Yes, imitation, phoniness, instead of following and maintaining God's scriptural love. And few worse examples of Satan's illicit, erotic love lusts are more dramatic, more open, more in God's face, more illustrated today than man's invention of Valentine love. Throughout the ages, no matter what it was called, it was the same unlove, counterfeit love, blatant lust found in society, but so sadly also found in the Christian church, and especially in this wicked and perverse generation today. Oh, don't take my word for it. Look around. All of society, almost all of Christendom is saturated with the Valentine spirit of lust. Physical love, not spiritual love. No, our godly forefathers, they earnestly warned Christendom, every single one of them, condemned inventing such days and such seasons to celebrate a supposed love, to celebrate the spiritual, the abstract, with physical love, phony love. No, it is Satan's devilish commercialization of love, an industry of counterfeit love that we see on grand display in this season. As we said, $24 billion industry of commercial love, of materialistic enterprise, motivated by profit, focused on the physical instead of the spiritual meaning of God's love. Oh, think about it. Over half of the world lives on less than $5 a day. Over half of the world has not heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ yet. Oh, how much difference this $24 billion that society is spending on unlove, How much difference that could make in attacking world poverty, in attacking the ignorance of God's dear children who have never heard the gospel. Oh, I think of one man, he said, when he was converted, how long ago did you know about this Jesus Christ? And the missionary said, oh, 2,000 years or so. He said, what? What? It took you this long to get to me? You were spending all your money on trivia, on worthless things. My father died longing to hear about the God of the salvation, the God of the world, Jesus Christ. Yes, this morning we're going to look at sin, real sin, and identify the litmus test of sin, which God uses to differentiate between something being a sin, or being no sin, between love or unlove, between real love or phony love. Oh, I ask you, God's love is overwhelming. Who can refuse to be loved by God? In the day of his power, God hath a willing people. Do you know something of that love? Yes, in this sermon we will use then the theme of love. God says, they who love me, they obey my commandments. It's a 1-2 equation. If you love God, you obey his commandments, every single one of them. Not cutting out caveats, not making conditions, not making excuses, not saying this means that and I know it should mean that. No, those who love me, God says, obey my commandments unconditionally. Now this morning, we will look at love, God's love, in two main points. Our first point is God's concept of love. His otherness is true love. And the six words that God uses in Scripture to define love's many different levels and many context concepts that are in God's application of love. Our second point is especially focused on spiritual unlove, spiritual lust, spiritual adultery that floods and saturates the Christmas, the Valentine spirit of our day. Yes, and all the activities of this human invention, pretending to be love, that is so utterly contrary to spiritual love, utterly contrary to God's love, utterly contrary to God who is love. Oh, do you know that God of love? Then you want nothing to do with all the phony loves of the world invented by Satan. And there are thousands of them, but you seek to become holy. Oh, Lord, crying out daily, striving, Lord, make me more holy today than I was yesterday, which thou hast made me. Yes, the words God describes for love, the highest word, and the highest word of love is God is love. Nothing can be higher. Nothing is greater. God is nothing but love. Yes, nothing higher than love. God says, I am love. That is my essence. But now remember, God is not only love, God is also all of his attributes. He is also justice, for example, and he retains all the other attributes of God. But God is love is a true statement, and God demands that we love him as he loves his children. Yes, that is the highest term, but additionally we see God uses the term agape, which pertains especially to his Son and the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and to die on the cross for lost sinners. Yes, agape is extended love toward mankind. And who can fathom that love? An unfathomable love, a love so mysterious that the scripture says of it, what manner of love is this, that God would leave his heavenly throne, that he would come down to assume a human nature, to live in the smoke of sin upon earth, sinless for 33 years, and die not just for sinners, but for sinners who are his bitterest enemies. Oh, have you ever learned that you are an enemy of God? You are a bitter enemy of God, and to conquer you required grace. Oh, grace of God that is beyond measure. But we must also marvel at the other person of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who also left his throne in heaven and personally came down to live on earth in the hearts of his saints. And yes, 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 the Holy Ghost is still on earth today. He has not returned to his heavenly throne and will not until the last day. He lives in the hearts of all of his saints, cleansing and sanctifying their hearts, conforming all of his dear children to the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, try to fathom that agape love of God, that he sent the second person and the third person of his Godhead to earth to endure such an encounter with sin, his Son to be a substitute for his Holy Spirit to live and cleanse sin in the most filthy place, you're in my heart. Yes, for sinners, bitter sinners, outrageous sinners who deserve death and hell, God sent his agape love, that unfathomable love. But another term God uses is further agape, which is God's constant love flowing toward all humans, God's crown piece of creation, and what he extends also in common grace as well to every living thing and every living object in this universe. Yes, God is in everything. He calls every star by their names, and he sets the trillions and quadrillions of galaxies of trillions in their orbits, spinning perfectly, praising his great and glorious name. How much more you, sinner? Oh, imagine the magnitude, the massiveness, the majesty of God in all things in this creation. Oh, will you not love him who is altogether love? Will you not repent from your unlove? Yes, at conception, every person receives a soul from God. Every one of the 200 trillion cells that are in your and my body is guided and governed by Him every second, every breath we take. Every heartbeat we receive is a new gift from His command. No, God doesn't wind up a human with just this much time of life and then leave them alone. But no, God is active in every person's life, and He commands every moment and every activity to fit into His grand master blueprint, which He, the Trinity, developed long before they ever created this earth. That is love, and that love includes His Christian church upon this earth, that extension of agape love. Now, another term God uses for love is philios storge, love, which is the love that is supposed to abound within His church, His bride, between believers. This is the love that He demands of all of His children. Oh, God says, love one another. Be holy as I am holy. Now, another love is called philios, which is the love that God gives to humans to be able to live with one another in some semblance of societal peace. Oh, it is a deep love that is supposed to bind us as humans on earth to view each other as brothers and sisters. Yes, filial love means God intends us, though we fail continually, to strive in the blood to view all those who live anywhere in the world, in Africa, in Asia, in any of the 197 countries. They are our brothers and sisters after the flesh. They also have a soul. They also have a need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and His blood applied to their lives. They also need to be washed clean in that blood, whiter than the snow. Yes, they also need to live godly, to die in the peace of Christ's blood. And we spend all of our time on Valentine hypocrisies, Valentine unlove, billions and billions of dollars, instead of focusing on God's love, what God's love demands of you and me. Another term God uses for love is storge, a Greek term which means that we must love everyone in the world. But God spends a special love in storge love for familiar love, family love, that has a special bond of love for His smallest form of government, the family. God sends storge love, that special love that includes that of a father and a mother and their love for their children. Oh, I would not trade what rearing I had from my father and mother for 10,000 worlds, for they taught the fear of the Lord. They taught the love of the Lord to each of us. Oh, that each might be reared, every child on earth, reared in the fear of the Lord, in Scripture, according to Scripture, according to love of loves, not deviating into all the satanic unloves that abound today in the Valentine spirit. Yes, God gives this storge love in concentric circles of humans that are involved in our lives. We don't know many of those who live around the world. But God gave us this life that we may strive to learn and help them more and more, further and further, as church, as community, as state, as country, as regions. Yes, the whole world needs to be our burden, for there are lost souls on the way to hell who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, who need to know the love of Jesus Christ in the love of the Trinity. Yes, another love is Eros love. That is the special love that God gives between a marital and in marriage, in the between a married man and a woman. Yes, that love that produces children, which is so central to God's unfolding plan of salvation for sinners. Yes, love, even in that physical form, the oneness of Eros love. Do not believe anybody that is sinful in a sacred marriage of a man and a woman. No, it is God's plan, and we need to see it as God's love. We may not abuse it. That's why he gave the seventh commandment with such high, high walls. Oh, yes, these are the six terms of love that God uses in Scripture. That six loves does not begin to describe true spiritual love, but it is a small start that scratches the surface. Oh, explore that love of God. Not the physical love, not the sensuality love of the Valentine spirit. Now, in our second point, Satan's unlove, Satan's lust, Satan's physical attraction, physical love is openly, blatantly exhibited in this Valentine spirit and all the commercialized, the business of unlove that focuses on its bright and beautiful colors and tastes on the physical instead of the spiritual. Oh, have you ever tasted the love of God? How sweet it is, sweeter than sweet is the love of God. Yes, step back and take an honest inventory of our human society today. As we said already, $24 billion, that's billions with a B, is spent in this freckless, phony holiday, which is supposed to be dedicated to love, but it is dedicated to unlove. Not the love of God. Oh, look from top to bottom at all the activities of the Valentine spirit. And notice one thing. You will not find one thing about the love of God, about the salvation of Jesus Christ, about the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross. Not one thing about the spiritual sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And yes, you can go all in all your stores and try to find that love of God in that commercialization. You will not find it. No, repent of seeking it there. know, all of God's attributes of God, our love personified, cannot be found in the commercialization of Valentine love, because they do not exist there. They are an invention of Satan to hide Jesus Christ, to detract us from Jesus Christ, to turn our attention away from what we need to be born again. Oh, if we look closely, we will see what does exist in Valentine's spirit is a spirit focusing on physical love, exotic love, lustful love, illicit love, immediate gratification love, phony love. Oh, countless colors and decorations and dice entice every person to participate in the festival of Satan's unlove. Countless chocolate cards, candies are delivered to many that we know in schools and homes, and sadly, even within the Christian church. Oh, many meaningless words are spoken about love, saying the words of love that have no meaning to our hearts or our souls. Oh, we read already what God said. This people draw near to me with their lips. With their tongue they sing of my glory. But they are vain words, for their hearts are far from me. No, none of this will begin to scratch the surface of the real love of God in sending his only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross for sinners. No, the Valentine spirit of love lust carries nothing but carnal love, physical love, emotional love, phony love, Satan's unlove. And thus there is no real spiritual or scriptural meaning in such vanity of vanities and vexation of spirit. Oh, flee from it. Repent and return to the love of God, which passes all understanding. Now we must compare this by comparing it with the Valentine Day of 100 years ago. Yes, you are right. There wasn't even a Valentine's Day permitted by the Christian church. It was outlawed. The Christian church forbade the celebration of Valentine's Day, recognizing that it was not God's love, but Satan's lust. Yes, it is a reinvention of this generation that has mushroomed greatly into this $24 billion commercialized, industrialized perversion of God's spiritual love that abounds today, even within the Christian church. Oh, let us fall before God's throne and repent and plead his blood righteousness. For how our godly forefathers, leaders of the Christian church, would have fainted in horror if they could miraculously come back to life today and see such a spirit, such a loveless spirit, such a lustful spirit day as our Valentine's Day season. Oh, they would condemn it that it violates every element of heavenly divine love. And instead it embraces physical, carnal, commercial love of Satan. Oh, if our godly forefathers would condemn us and say all of Christianity has condemned this unlove, That would be something. But there's more. For how much more God, who is love, is looking down from heaven and is watching as even his Christian church becomes inundated with such unlove that had been condemned for 6,000 years. Now, so many say we are a Bible-following church. We want to do God's will, not our will. But apply those words. For today, so much of Christendom has lost the meaning of obedience. And they have embraced instead the many conditions and the caveats invented of man on the inerrancy of God's word, saying, well, God didn't really mean this. Well, God didn't really mean this. Well, I think he meant this. All nonsense. For God's delight is not only in those who do his will, who not only hate sin, but flee from even the appearance of sin. Oh, are you fleeing from the appearance of sin in this Valentine's season of unlove? No, God allows no conditions, no caveats, no exceptions to obedience. For to love God is to obey him unconditionally. Oh, as we have said over and over 32 times in history, God has had to bitterly lament, this people hear my words with their ears. They confess me with their mouths. They sing great swelling songs of love about me. Oh, the infrastructure of Christendom is huge. But their hearts are far from me because they do not obey me. They do not apply the words. Oh, everything about obedience to God is apply, apply, apply the word of God to your and my life. Yes, if I had preached this sermon against all that was going on in a Valentine spirit 100 years ago, all of the Christian church would have stood up and applauded my warning of how this sin of lust, of spirit of lust, was going to be used to hide the spirituality of God's love, to deter Christians from conforming to God's word of condemning open sin in any degree, shape, context, or context. 100 years ago, the church would have clapped at this sermon. But not today, where very few will accept it. Then we must try to understand this paradox. And we must be honest and honestly ask ourselves, why would that be, that what I am preaching today was appreciated and accepted 100 years ago by 100% of Christians? But today, less than 1% of Christians will accept that. They will reject it and embrace the exact opposite today. Oh, why 100 years ago was my sermon acceptable and today not? Oh, ask yourself. The answer lies here. We have sinned against God in those 29 ways I have illustrated for you in our ministry at Holy War. And yes, then we must address another common complaint. Chaplain, they say, you are going too far. You're making too big a deal of this. Valentine's Day is just for innocent kids, innocent things that they can have some pleasure from. going to store and enjoying and trading love notes and chocolate candy and colorful decorations. Chaplain, what harm does this do? Why are you such a killjoy, always hammering against little things that don't matter? So what if the Christian church promotes Valentine, love, lust? It's a small thing that God will wink at. God wants us to focus on the really important things. No, if you are not faithful in the small things, then you will not be faithful in the big things. Look only at what Satan said to Eve. There was over 12,000 fruit trees in the Garden of Eden, but only one that they might not eat the fruit of. What a small thing, Satan said. God knows if you eat of it, you shall become like him. Oh, that same lie lives today. That lie that comes from the father of lies. Each of our children have a precious soul. But now the second thing we must condemn is those who agree with me and say, yes, it has gotten too far out of hand. People have gone crazy with all this Valentine stuff. With all this Valentine spirit, we've gone too crazy. We need to cut back a little on this and that and restore some balance. Have a little bit of God and a little bit of Valentine, a little bit of love and a little bit of unlove. That never works. Yes, such people are the most dangerous of all because they want to mix God with Satan, mix good with bad. Mixing good with bad always produces bad. It is condemned by God as being syncretic, and he will spew you out of his mouth, and you will hear from his mouth at that closed door of heaven, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who celebrate Satan's unlove, or try to mix Satan's unlove. For God uncovers all lies and calls all Satan's imitations of unlove, of lust, for what they really are. Phony love, false love, lying love, unfaithful love, whoring love, devilish love, perverted love. Oh, avoid all appearances of evil. Oh, I have brought before you an unpopular message of today. Totally popular 100 years ago. We have changed. God has not. And then I lift up before you Jesus Christ of love. He who is love personified, who came to earth for sinners to save to the uttermost. Oh, flee to his throne of grace. Flee to his blood. Plead that blood, for there is room for the chiefest of sinners. Amen.